Hi, this is Bill Arnold. Missed a show or need me talking to help you sleep tonight? I have several solutions to that situation. Here are the podcasts from the show. You are the best for listening and supporting Faith Radio.
Faith Radio.
And a warm welcome to Afternoons with me. I'm Bill Arnold. Thank you for joining me today. I appreciate first hour. Patrick Albanese was great. And Bev Canaris, who just left our studio, was talking about the Holy Spirit. And isn't it always inspirational to be reminded of the Trinity, the person of God that lives inside of us when we become born again, when we become surrender our lives to Christ. We have the Holy Spirit take up residence in us. And, you know, the Bible is so full of encouragement for help us to understand how much God loves us and how much he wants for us to know him and know him deeply. And that's what I hope we do on this show, is help you connect to him more deeply. And the Bible also just really helps us make sense of our relationships and our work and our school, whatever you're doing. And there could be transitional times like, I just got out of college, or I just got out of high school and I'm going to college. And for someone that's just doing that, if you've got a son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter, you know that going to that four-year educational institution, if it's not a Christian university, could have way more challenges than you could ever anticipate. And a lot of kids, when they go to college, they get time away from home and they start to have lots of other opinions in their life, and they start to step away from their faith, and they start to say, maybe that was something that was meant for me and my immediate family, but now I'm in college and I'm all grown up and I can think my own thoughts and have my own feelings. And that's, of course, you can, but too many people wander away from their faith. And I'm going to talk to David Wheaton about that, because he knows that well, because he lived part of it himself and has written a great book on it. And just going to be a great reminder of how to stay focused in the Word and how to encourage your kids and grandkids who are looking at going to school next year to stay grounded and rooted in the Word. So we're going to take a little break and then bring on David Wheaton in just a minute.
Faith Radio is good news you can count on.
Just as he stood one day outside the tomb of Lazarus and shouted, "Lazarus, come forth," he's going to come back from heaven and shout to all of us, "Come forth from your graves and come up to heaven to be with me."
He called my name.
Hear from best-selling authors about what it's really like to get a book deal and work towards seeing your first work published. Ask publishing experts about your next steps and learn the ins and outs of presenting your work at the 2019 Northwestern Christian Writers Conference, July 12th and 13th at the University of Northwestern, St. Paul. You'll have the opportunity to learn from best-selling authors and publishing experts in both fiction and nonfiction. Find out more and register online today at NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com.
My friend and regular guest, David Wheaton, is an author, radio host, a speaker, and a former professional tennis player. He's authored a couple books, The University of Destruction, Your Game Plan for Spiritual Victory on Campus, and My Boy Ben, A Story of Love, Loss, and Grace. David, welcome.
Hey, good afternoon, Bill. Good to be with you today.
You sound like you're on the road today.
I am on the road today. Sorry I can't be in studio, but I'm on the road.
That is A-okay. When you left for college, you went to Stanford, which is a pretty liberal school, and you got a big dose of liberalism when you went there, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I think almost, I hate to overgeneralize, but I think with college campuses, you can basically give this generality that almost every secular college in the country now is extremely left-wing. And so it wasn't much different back to when I went to college in the late 80s. There I am dating myself, but there you have it.
It's all right.
And Stanford was, of course, an elite college from an academic standpoint. But even more from a worldview standpoint, it was very challenging. You know, I had grown up in a really good Christian home. Of course, you know, my parents and the kind of home I was raised in, a very traditional Christian family, taught the Word of God, made a profession of faith. And I was younger, raised in the church. And so I had a really good foundation for going off to college. And but, you know, Bill, I really didn't give it much thought. I didn't really know what I was going to face. I had never been away from home very much, even though I'd been playing a lot of tennis and junior tournaments nationally and so forth and traveling a lot. I really wasn't aware of what the college campus was like. But I soon experienced that the moment I stepped foot on the campus at Stanford, just how antithetical it was going to be to the values with which I was raised, both in the dorm room and also the worldview in the classroom. And it was extremely destabilizing for me. I wasn't very grounded in my faith, even though I grew up in a Christian home. I didn't feel like I had made it my own yet.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't a good combination when you go off to college and you don't really know what you believe.
And the statement you just made, David, really applies to anyone listening. If you're not grounded in your faith and you face the perils of life, you're in trouble.
Yeah, it does. And it really, whether it's college or a business environment or really anywhere, if your beliefs are just what you've heard and you haven't internalized them yourself as your own, you don't believe them for yourself, it's never going to work. And so I think that's one of the really most important parts of my story is that even though I professed to be a follower of Christ, I didn't internally possess that, I don't think, when I went off to college when I was 18 or 19 years old. So there's a big difference between a professor and possessor of a genuine saving faith. Anyone can profess it, but it's when you are tested, when you are put in a tempting environment, when there are decisions to be made as which direction am I going to go? What am I going to believe? It's at those points where I think the testing proves whether we truly just profess it, like anyone could profess anything, or whether we truly possess. Now, a few years after I left college, I really think there was a huge turning point in my life where I went from just being a professing Christian to coming to the point of understanding who God was, who I was, a sinner and separated from Him, and understanding what the gospel was, that God sent His Son to die for my sin on the cross and to repenting of my sin and putting my 100% trust in what He did on my behalf, that I could be forgiven and right with God. And when that changed, I think I went from a professing Christian to one who possesses genuine saving faith. And then God gives you all the spiritual benefits of that, the Holy Spirit and a desire to read the Word and all those things that help you be an overcomer in this life. And that's really what my book is about. It's about being an overcomer on the college campus, but it extends way beyond that, really, to any stage and period of life you're in.
Mm-hmm. David, you could find that a lot of people will say that they kind of vote yes for Jesus. They might vote yes for Christianity, but it's like you say, they've professed it, but they've not possessed it. There's such a big difference there. And
yeah.
I love that you make that point so clear.
Well, I think it makes all the difference because I get asked, you know, why do so many young people, Christians, professing Christians, quote-unquote, lose their faith in college? Well, the obvious reason is that they go to college and they experience what I write about in the book, the three pillars of peril, you know, the three temptations that sort of encapsulate most everything a Christian student's going to face. By the way, whether on a secular campus or a Christian college campus, the Christian college's campus can be very difficult as well. Maybe we can talk about that in the next segment. But they go to college, and they get on campus, they're raised in a Christian home, they've been in a state of their own kind of their own parental values, living your life by those. Now they're forming their own personal values, and then they face these three pillars of peril: a battle for the body, sexual immorality, a battle for the spirit, drugs and alcohol, and a battle for the mind, humanism or a non-biblical worldview. And so they face these, and they're overcome by them. And after being in college for several years, they say, you know what, the way I was raised, that Christian faith and that church, I really just don't believe that stuff anymore, and they just walk away from it. So that's one of the obvious reasons why people will, quote-unquote, lose their faith in college. But I think the bigger reason is what we've been talking about. It's that like Christ said in Matthew 7, he says, not everyone, he says, who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who basically obey me. He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out many demons and performed many miracles? I mean, these are people who think they are following Christ and doing great works in his name. And then Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. I mean, it's the scariest passage in Scripture that we can profess to be a follower of Christ, but on Judgment Day, when we stand before him, he says, I never knew you. And the reason he never knew us is because we never entered through the narrow gate, which is through repenting on our knees and telling Christ, you know what, there's none of my own works I can bring to you that have any benefit for me to be right for you. I put my whole trust and faith and belief in what Jesus did for me on the cross. That really is the biggest reason right there, Bill, why so many Christians kids, professing Christian kids, go to college and then walk away from the faith because they never had it to begin with.
Mm-hmm. So a possessor would say openly and with great conviction that I put my trust in Christ, I cling to him, and I rely upon him. Then maybe That's you right. have this confidence that you're not just voting yes for God, but you have surrendered and exchanged your life for his.
That's exactly right. It goes by a riddle. All possessors are professors, but not all professors are possessors. And what that means is anyone who possesses genuine faith will profess it for sure, and they'll live it out. They'll practice righteousness, as Scripture says. Not perfect, not sinless perfection, but they'll practice righteousness. They may fall, but they keep getting back up after they repent and get back on the narrow road. But all those who profess it don't necessarily possess it. And that's why when they face the obstacles, which is a very difficult transition in college, by the way, this is a very difficult, one of the most difficult transitions in life. The professors face that, but then they don't possess the spiritual resources that are given at the point of salvation. Like I mentioned, the Holy Spirit, prayer, fellowship with other believers, taking in the word, these kinds of resources that God gives the true believer, the possessor, to overcome the things that he or she will face on campus.
Mm-hmm. David Wheaton is my guest, and he is on the road, but he's still calling in because this is how faithful David is as a friend. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, more with David Wheaton. Go to thechristianworldview.org to learn more about David and his great writing and his books and his program and all that. We'll be right back. It is 18 minutes after the hour. David Wheaton is my guest. And David, just got a nice text message from a listener. So here's the question. I'll let you answer it. Is David Wheaton's book about college for the student who's going to college? And how big of a book is it? And what does it cost in case I want to get many of them for my friends going away to college?
It's only 3 pages. No, the book is...
Usually I do the comedy.
Funny,
okay.
Right? Yes, exactly. No, the book is really geared towards students and their parents. I always encourage parents to read it first because I think that that's something that's missing a lot of the time is that parents just don't realize how difficult, even though they went to college kind of way back when, they don't realize how much the university campus has changed and is still changing. I mean, even since I wrote this book, there's been I would say, and there are no new spiritual pillars of peril, like I mentioned, sex, drugs, and humanism, so to speak, alcohol. But they're different forms. I mean, the concepts of homosexuality and transgenderism, sexual autonomy, those things are so pervasive on campus now, where they weren't, let's say, 25 years ago, at least not to the extent. Mm-hmm. So the book, I really encourage parents to read the book first so they are just informed, because you can't teach what you don't know. In other words, parents need to be informed about what's going on. And then secondly, I encourage parents to then give the book as a graduation gift or earlier, preferably, to their son or daughter. And you can go through it with them. That would be a great spiritual thing to do with your kids. You know, it's easy to get caught up in the mundane things of life, but this would be an important thing to do. We have a free chapter-by-chapter study guide. Just going through that discipling environment with your son or daughter before they go off to college, I think at least sets some groundwork and at least lets them know. It's like sports. Everyone knows in sports that an important thing is to scout your opponent, to know what you're going to face. And that's what University of Destruction does. It gives you a scouting report in college, but it also not only stops, it doesn't stop there. It gives you a game plan. Like any good athlete would know, you need a game plan for how you're going to be able to be successful when you get on the college campus. So I would encourage parents to read it and then to go through it with their son or daughter. And the earlier, the better.
Mm-hmm. David, I know summer is just around the corner because I just bought a huge bottle of Sunblock 2 million, which I use all the time. But there's going to be kids coming back from college, maybe first year, and they're going to be shocking their parents a little bit with some of their newer thinking. How would you encourage parents to deal with maybe a son or daughter who's come home from year one of college and they're kind of a little bit of a different person?
Well, it's super shocking for parents because you just spent 18 years doing all you could to raise your son or daughter with the right kind of biblical values and teaching them the right way to go. And all of a sudden, you write checks. This is the really ironic part. You're writing big checks for your son or daughter to go to college, and they're coming back with values that are totally contradictory to the ones that you'd like to have for them because you believe they're true. And so this is incredibly disconcerting, by the way. It happens very quickly, too. Just anecdotally, the stories I hear is the kids go off to college, and within a couple of weeks, it's such a turbulent, chaotic environment so quickly that things can change very quickly. It can happen by the time the kids come home for Thanksgiving. All mm-hmm. of a sudden, things are coming out of their mouth that now they're informed about the world, and they know these things that their parents never could, right? So it's really disconcerting. I think it's really important that I'll just give a couple things here. There's lots of things I could say, but just a couple things. Make sure as a parent when your son or daughter goes off to college that you stay really engaged in their life, talking with them, finding out what they're learning, praying for them, just being engaged, writing to them, texting, being there. Because if you don't have that presence, that sense of influence, that point of influence in their life, things can go astray pretty quickly. I think another important thing is fellowship in college. Most college kids are not engaged in a church at all. And so they're not having any spiritual authority in their life. They're not getting good teaching. And so the next best thing is for them to be involved in a really solid Christian organization on campus where at least they're going to be getting the same kind of values and worldview that you want your children to have. And so, but they're not all created the same on campus, so it's important to do some research and find out which ones are good Christian organizations, because from that pool of fellow students, they're also going to be interacting with those who are of like mind, and friends are so important in life. That's part of what I call the spiritual GPA in college. So if you interact well with these three relationships, not your academic GPA, but your spiritual GPA, if you interact well with God, your peers, and your authorities, if you know how to manage those three relationships well, you're going to be able to be an overcomer no matter where you go to college. Because I don't want to give this as totally like all bad news. You're going to go there, University of Destruction, as the book titled. It can be a really spiritual, profitable time, but you have to be grounded in your faith. You have to be on a mission to be an overcomer. You have to do some of the right things while you're there. Otherwise, you'll just be swept away.
Yeah, it must be just so heartbreaking for parents and grandparents when they get news that their daughter, their son, their granddaughter, grandson have tried to do life differently when they've gotten to college and they've walked away from part of their spiritual upbringing and how they were trained. Is there a word of encouragement even for the grandparents that have invested so much in their spiritual mentoring? And they might feel one generation further removed from having an influence, but they're not. They're still critical in their relationship with their grandkids, aren't they?
Yeah, well, let me say two things about this. You're exactly right. There's nothing more disturbing, sorrow-causing, than having your child or your grandchild, that child that you love dearly, if you're a follower of Christ, it's the most important thing someone can pursue in life is a close relationship with God. And to see a son, a daughter, or a grandson or granddaughter departing from that path and going away from God, that's incredibly, I think that's one of the most disappointing things in life is to have that happen. So that's a real palpable tragedy, really. It's not an overuse of that word. It's a real culpable tragedy to see a son or daughter, because they're going in a direction they're going to lose their soul. What is more significant and serious than that? So the encouragement is that it's never over with God.
Mm-hmm.
We go through ups and downs in life. We can be going the wrong way. And I would encourage parents and grandparents, the word does not return void. Isaiah 55:11. You know, what we have built into the lives of our sons and daughters, I would encourage you to keep doing that before they get away from home, because God's word does not return void. And when you build that into them, that was the case in my own life. It was the word of God that had been built into me, even though I wasn't listening very well as a teenager. It was God used that as a conscience to me.
Mm-hmm.
When I was going my own way, I was never settled. I was never content in my own heart, though I pursued the world's sin and the pleasures of sin for a season. It was the word of God that kept on saying, you know what, you can get what you want in life, but you're never going to be at peace if you're not right at peace with God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just encourage parents and grandparents, keep praying for them, keep building the word of God into them. It's never over. They may go away for a time. Stay engaged in their life. And there are just too many examples, my life included, where my parents did that, and eventually God opened my eyes to see the wrong way I was going, and I returned to follow Christ. I'm so thankful for that.
Yeah, amen to that. And I just went on your website, thechristianworldview.org, and you're giving listeners a great price on your book. It's at $12, the best price of the season. So I highly recommend going and getting a copy now while the sale is on, or get several copies to give out to friends who are on their way, who have got children on their way to college. David, just with a minute and a half left, let's talk about just being an overcomer. I know that's part of what the goal of your book is, to help people be overcomers. Encourage us with a word on that, if you would.
Well, that is the theme of the book. And it's beyond the book, though. I believe that is the purpose of the Christian life, is to be an overcomer. Have you noticed in Revelation, Bill, that at the end of each of Christ's messages to the seven churches, he always ends with this message, to him who overcomes, or he says in John 16:33, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And in 1 John 5:3-4, he says, who is he who overcomes? But he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In other words, there is this theme in Scripture about overcoming, the assumption that there's going to be challenges, there's going to be troubles, there's going to be temptations in life. But when you are truly right with God through Christ, you can overcome these things just as Christ overcame the world. We have this supernatural power in us that helps us overcome. So that is the theme of the book, but really that's beyond that. It's the theme of the Christian life, is mm-hmm. to be an overcomer, and God gives us the ability to do that.
David, every time you talk, I always feel like you're speaking with authority that doesn't come from you. So thank you for sharing your time with us today on the program. I know you're busy on the road. I love hearing from you. Thank you.
It's good to be with you today. And I have no authority. It's the word that has all the authority, Bill.
Yep, I'm with you. All right, brother. Thanks. David Wheaton has been my guest. Go to thechristianworldview.org to learn more. We'll take a break and be back. So all God ever needs is a willing vessel. Will you say yes? There's the big question. My guest is Kate Battistelli, and she is an author and speaker, and she used to be in the biz, the actress, singer. She was New York Broadway musical world. That's the big time, just so you know. And she's also the mother of Grammy Award-winning contemporary Christian recording artist Francesca Battistelli. You just heard her music. Kate, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Bill.
Are you kidding? You've been on my list of people I've wanted to meet and talk to. So thanks for coming on. Cool book,
my pleasure.
The God Dare, Will You Choose to Believe the Impossible? Do say more.
Oh, well, it's coming out on Saturday. So I'm excited about that. It's my second book. And it's just, you know, all about those crazy ideas that God drops in your spirit that you know you can't possibly do without his help.
Yeah. So I want to hear a little bit about your background getting on Broadway and that whole journey. I'd love to hear some about that, if you don't mind.
Sure. I was young. This is now back in 1981. Mm-hmm. I was a mere 26 at the time, okay. And I was a struggling actress in New York City. And I went up for the part of the understudy in the big national tour of The King and I, starring Yul Brynner. And those of your listeners that know that have ever seen the movie or have seen The Ten Commandments, they would know who Yul Brynner is. He's the ball guy. Mm-hmm. And so I went out as the understudy. I got to about 2 months into the run of the show, the leading lady got pneumonia. So I got to go on. And, you know, typically an understudy is really an insurance policy for the producers. Mm-hmm. You don't really expect you're going to get an opportunity to go on. Well, I did. I got to do the show for about 2 weeks with Yul Brynner. Then the leading lady came back. So I went back to the chorus because that's what you do. And then about a month or so later, they just decided they did not like each other. They didn't get along well. So Yul Brynner bought out her 2-year contract and gave me the part of a lifetime. And I was a nobody. I mean, he could have had his choice of any actress in New York or Hollywood or anywhere in the world, really. And he picked me. It was just, and this is before I knew the Lord. So this is one of those just crazy things that God has done in my life that I see it now as sort of a prophetic picture of what he was going to do in my life. But it's just very interesting how that worked out. So I got to do the show for almost 3 years, about 1,000 performances.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was an interesting time. Yeah.
That's a big curtain bow at the end of the show. That's a big one.
That is.
You probably got to take the second to the last one, didn't you?
Second to the last, yep. I mean, originally it was her show. She would have had the last bow, but, you know, when Yul Brynner took over, it became his. So I was perfectly happy to take the second to the last bow.
Yeah. Okay, now brag on your daughter a little bit.
Well, she's amazing. If you listen to Christian music, you've heard of Francesca Battistelli, and she's just, you know, God has just blessed her so much. She is so passionate about the Lord and about worship and about doing what God's called her to do. So we just feel honored that God gave her to us as to be her parents, because she's just an amazing, amazing young woman. Great mom, great wife, you know, I'm just blessed to have her.
Yeah. Are there any other kids waiting in the wings wanting to be stars in your family? Or
no, God only gave us one. I'm the crazy woman who wanted 5 kids, but God said, nope, you're going to have one. And at the time it was really difficult because, you know, that was the cry of my heart was to have more children. And God kept saying, no, we tried adoption 4 times and 4 times it fell through. Nothing worked until finally I got it through my thick head that God was giving us one child. But I think because of where he was taking her, she needed our full attention to mm-hmm. help her navigate, you know what the showbiz world is like. So just to navigate all of that, even though Christian music's a little bit different, but still, there are some principles and things you need to learn. And because we'd been in the entertainment world, we had a better understanding. But I think God was very smart in what he was doing with just giving us one child, though at the time it was hard.
Yeah. Now, Kate, in the book, The God Dare, you invite people to take this God Dare. Now, so mm-hmm. please tell us what that's about.
I do. Yes. The God Dare is just that really crazy idea that you go, God, there's no way. For me, that was writing my first book because I wasn't a writer. I didn't have a college degree. I had no platform. I mean, none of it made sense, but God just kept pressing this idea into my spirit. And finally, I just went to somebody and said, I think I'm supposed to write a book. A friend of mine that was a writing coach. And I said, talk me out of it. Tell me I'm crazy. And she said, no, this is definitely God. You need to do it. And we did and got it published and everything. And it's usually that kind of idea or that kind of thought that you get that you go, I'm not equipped to do this. There's no way. It's going to take me out of my comfort zone. It's scary. But one of the keys is that if God calls you to it, he'll equip you to do it because he has to. He knows we can't take a God dare on our own. We can only do what's possible. He has to do the impossible. And I see it all through scripture. I've seen it in my life many times. And it's just amazing how real it is out there. When you really start looking around, you start seeing it and seeing how God will just put this out, you know, give somebody this opportunity. And we can say no to it if we want to. And many times we will, just because it typically will be a little bit scary. But it's so exciting when you say yes, because it changes the world.
Hmm. Well, let's just look at the odds of this book getting written here, Kate. You're not a trained writer. Right. You know, you admitted there's no college degree. You're not a parenting expert. And you don't necessarily even have time to write a book. And you're not sure who's going to read it. And you don't know how it's going to get published. And you're kind of generally thinking people are going to think it's a stupid idea. Right. And then also talk about, you know, maybe you're self-promoting because you've got a famous daughter, you know, this whole thing. So there are the odds. Right. They're against you. And yet you did it. That's fantastic.
Right. Yeah. You have to. You just have to ignore all that and ignore the voice of the enemy and follow what the Lord's leading you to do. Say yes. Ask him for confirmation because he'll give it to you. If it's God, he will confirm it. You know, I don't tell anybody to just go out and do some kind of crazy thing. You want to really know that you're hearing the Lord through confirmation, through getting prayer, through talking to mature Christians, your pastor, people like that, to just really know that what you're doing is God's will.
Mm-hmm. Kate, at the end of chapter 4, I see this little section called God's Dare Secrets, which instantly caught my attention. And the first one was, you can be bruised and brave at the same time. Boy, is that wise.
Well, that particular chapter 4, was my most recent God Dare, the hardest one for me to write because I talk about something I never talked about in 46 years. When I was 18, back in 1972, I got pregnant at the end of high school. And it was that summer that I graduated and I knew something was wrong. And back then it was such a terrifying thing to me. I knew if I told my family, it was just not going to go well. So I lived in New Jersey at the time where abortion was illegal, but in New York City, it was legal. So I ended up going to New York, having an abortion and never telling anyone. I mean, other than my husband and maybe two or three friends in my entire life, I just was terrified to talk about it because it's a heavy subject. It's something that a lot of women struggle with. I think it's 1 out of 3 women have had an abortion. So it's a big deal. It's a real thing, but it's something we need to bring out of the shadows, especially in the church. And I just felt like the Lord just was really pressing me last summer to put this in the book. I did not want to. I told him no, but I eventually just said, okay, God, if you're going to use this to bring healing to even one woman, it's worth it for me to blow my own cover. And so I did and put it in there. And it just shows that you can be bruised and brave at the same time. You can do the hard thing. You can tell the scary, difficult story because it's going to help somebody else. And that made it all worth it for me.
Mm-hmm. Kate, talk about some examples from the Bible of people who really just said to God, please lead my life. Would you share a couple of those?
Oh, I mean, I just see it all through scripture. Job, I see it with him. Mm-hmm. I see it with Joseph. With one of my favorites is Ruth, because she God didn't appear to her. She didn't see an angel. It was nothing like that. It was just, she saw something so real and raw in her mother-in-law, Naomi's life, that just drew her to God. She had to know who he was. She had to follow, even though she had no prospects. I mean, none of it really makes sense when you look at the book of Ruth and see, well, why on earth did she leave everything she knew, left her country, left everything to follow a woman to another country where she was not an Israelite. She was a Moabite, which was a heathen, mm-hmm. a Gentile. And yet she followed and obeyed and ends up in the lineage of Christ. And I just see that it's a very subtle God dare. That's a different way God can dare you through someone else's life. But how won't it be amazing when we get to heaven and find, oh boy, just by looking at my life, not me, but you know, someone would say, and it drew them to the Lord. So I find that as very powerful.
Mm-hmm. Kate, you grew up, and when you're a young woman, you were in the entertainment biz, and everyone's got big dreams at that point, don't they?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to be a Tony Award-winning actress.
Yeah, right. So, but as we've gotten all a little bit older, do you hear people talking about their dreams almost as if they're kind of depressed that they can't go for it, or they're just at a stage in life where they can't take the risk, and they've got fears and objections that probably hold them back from adventures God wants to take them on?
Well, I do think that that's very true. Sometimes we'll just say, I'm too old, or I've messed up too much. There's no way God can use me. But that is a trap and a lie of the enemy, because if God calls you, he's going to make a way for you to do it. And I think our part is the stepping out. We have the scary part because we have to trust and go, okay, God, I'm going to say yes to this crazy thing. Maybe it's moving across the world. Maybe it's going to be a missionary in a country that hates the gospel and hates Christians, and your life's going to be in danger. It could be any one of a million things that God asks you to do. But in the stepping out, that's where we're changed. And I really believe that when we obey, we're going to change the world in some capacity.
Mm-hmm. I always think of Abraham, you know, at his age mm-hmm. and stage of life, just getting up and obediently saying, okay, he just goes.
Yeah. Moses too, you know, he was 80 years old on the backside of the desert thinking, well, this is it. I thought there was something else for me. And he was right all along, but God's training ground is often in the desert. And sometimes we might need decades of training before we're ready for that thing that God's going to call us to do. That's going to really make an impact.
Mm-hmm. And I'm back now in another chapter under the God Dare secrets, which I find fascinating. And you say that each of us has an assignment to change the world. Can you talk about that, elaborate that on a little bit? That's a big statement.
Yeah, I really do believe that every person on this planet is here to change the world. Now, whether we choose to say yes when God shows us that world-changing thing that we're supposed to do, and it may not be as big as, you know, Queen Esther or Moses or Abraham. Typically, it's going to be just say yes to what he's telling you in the small sphere, just really living like Jesus, forgiving when you're treated poorly, living with integrity, doing those things that Jesus talks about that are difficult to do. I mean, I think every word that came out of Jesus Christ's mouth was really a God dare, because the things he asks us to do are very difficult without his help. So I do believe everybody's here to change the world, but it's our choice whether we're going to agree with God and go ahead and do that.
Mm-hmm. Kate, was it a good idea to say, okay, if I've had things in my past and I believe that my past is disqualifying me from being used for God, that's a place where we need to stop and repent and say, God has forgiven me for that, and I want to open my hands to what God wants to put in them?
Oh, absolutely. We have to. We have to be able to, because repentance and asking for forgiveness is key, because once you can do that, it takes the burden off of you and it gives you the freedom to move forward into whatever God has for you, because guilt and shame, all that stuff, that's just going to hold us back. That's going to get inside of us and start eating us from the inside out. And that is not good for anybody. We just need to, it's time to let go of that. And that's what I'm hoping through the message of this book, for men and women, that it will just help them to release some of that and walk into what God has. Because I don't think you can fully walk into everything God has you if you're holding on to a lot of guilt and a lot of shame and a lot of, well, I messed up too much. Nobody's messed up too much for God not to use them.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the thief on the cross. It was his last moments of life and he still made it to heaven. So it is never too late.
Amen. All right. I'm going to take a little break. Kate Battistelli is my guest. She's written a book called The God Dare. Will you choose to believe the impossible? We'll be back in 90 seconds. Mom, should I interrupt your daughter singing, or should we just keep it playing?
It's your call, not mine.
No.
You can go ahead. Do whatever works for you.
All right. Thank you, Rebecca. All right. I'm talking to Kate Battistelli, and the book is called The God Dare. Will you choose to believe the impossible? All right. So we've got this dream. We've got something, and it's sacred to us. So what happens when we share it and somebody goes, that's a dumb idea? Yeah, you'll
well,
never do that.
Yeah, that's hard and that's scary and sometimes it's best not to share those things. I mean, you just look at what happened to Joseph in the Bible. He shared his dream and ended up, you know, first a slave and then a prisoner. So I think it just depends on the size of the dream. If it's something really big and crazy like Joseph had, I think you just need to be measured and pray and ask the Lord, do I share this? Do I tell people or do I just keep this to myself? That you just need to use a little wisdom, I think, sometimes, depending on what your dream is.
Mm-hmm. I love in one of your chapter 10, you talk about God's dare secrets. Once again, I find this little segment just so compelling. That you don't let anger, pride, or offense cause you to miss your God dare. Certainly, we can make our lives complicated with our own stupid egos.
Yeah. Oh, we definitely can. I think it's just important to all those things, anger, pride, offense. Offense is one of the biggest ones that I think people hold on to. Somebody does something to you and you cannot forgive them. You see them going down the, you know, the aisle at the grocery store and you run to go down the other aisle because you just can't even deal with them. So that's a big one. And I think if we're holding offense, it's going to inhibit any God dare God gives us, because how can you fully walk into what God's calling you to do when you're holding offense against somebody? Even if they deserve it, even if what they did to you was really, really horrible, it's still not our position to hold on to that. God tells us he commands us to forgive. So that's a very critical one to follow if we're going to fully walk into what God has for us.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here's a big one, Kate. And let's say you've got a dream and you're thinking this is your God dare, and things are not going the way at all that you thought. I mean, things just aren't even remotely happening the way you planned. How do you put that into your head and make that part of what God is doing in your life?
Well, sometimes that could be God saying, hey, this isn't the direction for you. Or sometimes it could just be, hey, you're not quite ready to get there yet. We need to do a little bit more training. I mean, look at Moses, who is stuck in the desert for 40 years. That's a long time to be unsure of your purpose. I mean, I believe he knew what he'd been raised in Pharaoh's court to do, but he wasn't able to do it. Here he is, you know, chased to the backside of the desert because he murdered an Egyptian. So you look at that and think, gosh, well, maybe he just totally missed it, but he didn't. It was all about God's timing. So sometimes it's timing. Sometimes maybe you didn't hear God when you thought it was God. Maybe it wasn't. So then again, you need to pray. You need to get some good counsel. You need to try to figure it out. And if it's God's timing, then be willing to be patient, be willing to be in his training ground, wherever that is, and just learn what it is he needs you to learn so you can fully walk into what he's calling you to do.
Mm-hmm. Kate, if you get this God dare and you pretty much feel that God's leading you in the direction and you run out of strength and energy, is that the kind of thing you would go, is this God telling me I'm not doing what he wants? Or should you just plan on being humanly tired from all the energy that life asks?
Oh, I think you have to plan on that. I mean,
okay.
You know, my book took me 8 years from the first blog post to being published this coming Saturday when it actually comes out. It took that long. So it's not necessarily going to always happen in a hurry. Oftentimes it's going to marinate for quite a while and God's going to say, put that on the back burner for a while and go over here and do this. And then we'll come back to that, which is what happened with me with this book. So yeah, it's not always an indication that you're not on the right path. Sometimes it's God's timing. I mean, his timing is in everything.
Mm-hmm. So talk about your prayer life through all of this, because prayer is the first line of defense, isn't it?
Yes, mostly on my face, just
right,
crying
okay.
out to the Lord, you know, just with each chapter, where do I go? What do you want me to say? Because I wanted it to be what God had to say, not what Kate Battistelli has to say. What I think isn't really that important. It's what God has taught me over the years. And as that all just sort of marinated in me, then I was able to just pour it out through these different Bible characters, through the stories in my life, through all those God dare secrets. And those are just things I've gleaned over 35 years of walking with the Lord. Because the longer you walk with him, the more you pick up, the more wisdom you attain, the more things you learn, you know, beyond the shadow of a doubt are true. So that's how that worked for me.
Mm-hmm. Kate, I would love for you to kind of encourage people who maybe have, they've calmed some of their energy down because they're afraid of rejection. They're just afraid that I shouldn't have this energy when I'm around people telling them about my dreams and what I want, because I don't want to have rejection, and I don't want people to put negative thoughts in my head. And there's so many people that have got big dare dreams in their head. They just don't know what to do with them.
Well, I think, again, you need to really pray and seek the Lord. I would advise not to let other people's opinions stop you. If they have good counsel, that's a different thing. But if you really know that this is where God is calling you, just take the first step. You don't have to look 10 years down the road at where it is. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in, I've got to do all these things, when really, no, it's just write the next chapter, write the next sentence, do the next thing, not 10 things. Don't be thinking so far ahead. Just look at what you can do today to bring your dream to pass and hold on to it. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. If you know that you know, and you've had confirmation and you've gotten good counsel, then you plow ahead and don't worry what anybody else thinks, because really that is not important. It's what God thinks of you.
All right. I'm having a flashback to being on Broadway stage with Yul Brynner. I'm just having a flashback here, Kate. I know that your blocking has to be perfect,
mm-hmm.
and your, when you start your note, and has to be perfect.
Yep.
And timing is like a laser beam. You have to just be perfect. So now, yeah. I assume you've got some perfectionism in you.
Well, probably a little bit. And my daughter does too. Well, and my husband. Yeah. Well, I guess we all do have.
Yeah. So tell me, does that get in the way of your trying to do your dare?
It can, because you can think, gosh, if it's not perfect, then I can't do it. I can't let it out, or I can't expose it because it's not exactly the way I envisioned it. But sometimes I don't think God really cares about that. I mean, God's a perfectionist, but he's perfect. And we don't need to be. That can definitely stop us in our tracks, because we see it has to be a certain way. And if God says, you know, I don't want it to turn out that way, it's going to be this way. We have to be flexible enough to go with whatever God is showing us, and just not get stuck in that. Perfectionism is just a real trap. And mm-hmm. I think we have to try to do all we can to not get stuck there.
So another, the God Dare secret, which I love, is the only way to combat a trickle of doubt is with a flood of truth. I'd love mm-hmm. you to say more about that. That's awesome.
Yeah, well, I mean, doubts are going to come. There's no question. But when you read the word, that's where you're going to find the truth. I mean, you just have to read it. You have to find those scriptures that jump out at you. Write them down. Put your name in them. I'm a big one for putting my name right in the scripture, for speaking it out loud over myself, over my life, the ones that God has really pointed out to me. And it gives you power. It strengthens you, because you know what God says is true, what the enemy's trying to tell me. And he will try to get me to doubt and try to do all those things and worry and fret and everything. I got to let that go. Find the scriptures that suit you, write them down on a sticky note or whatever you want to put them on, put them all around. If you know, some people are really visual, need to see that constant reminder, memorize the word, get that deep in you. And that's going to keep you going on those days when you don't want to put one foot in front of the other anymore, when it's mm-hmm. tiring, because it can get wearying. I mean, after 8 years of trying to get this book out, I was weary, and there were a couple of years there where I didn't even write at all, because I was dealing with really bad anxiety that hit me out of nowhere. I mean, stuff like that, life happens, but we have to just be determined to keep going no matter what the enemy throws at us.
Mm-hmm. And let's just be honest, Kate, whatever you do, whether it's God's dare or not, if you're going to really get anything done, it's going to be a lot of hard work. It's just going to be
Absolutely.
A lot of work. And, you're basically also suggesting, you know, what are you willing to do that most won't do?
Right.
In order to have what most won't have. And of course, that's a lot of hard work.
And that's the whole comfort zone thing. I think
yeah.
in America particularly, you know, we're used to have, most of us have a decent life and a nice home and can pay our bills, and hey, life's good. I'm fine. I don't need to, you know, upset the apple cart. But sometimes God's asking us to do exactly that, to step out. And the ones that step out are the ones that are going to make a difference. If you're willing to, you will change the world with your life. If you're not willing to, and you just want to live an average life, I mean, that's okay. You can still go to heaven, but it doesn't make any impact. And I'm a big believer in each one of our lives. We're all on this planet for a reason. Not one of us is here randomly. God has a purpose and a design for our lives, but it's our responsibility to press into him, find out what is that, and then do it with all our might, because it honors him.
That is probably the near perfect way to close my show today, Kate. Thank you so much. Kate Battistelli has been my guest. Her book is called The God Dare. It's coming out soon.
Yes, June 1st. And actually, we've got a little text to number if anybody wants to get the first three chapters free, the foreword by my daughter, Franny. So she wrote the foreword, and it's just text God Dare, all one word, to 44144, and they can get the first three chapters for free, which is a nice way to kind of try before you buy.
It is 44144, and then text God Dare. Thank you so much, Kate.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Have a great evening. God bless.
You too.
Yep. Thank you so much. And thanks to all my guests for being awesome today, as my guests always are. And thank you for being such an awesome listener and supporters of Faith Radio. Have a great night, everyone. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.